You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The World Cup with William Hill.
The Punt Daily Podcast. Listen at news.williamhill.com, on Audioboom, or subscribe by iTunes or your preferred podcast provider.
Hello and welcome to the Daily World Cup Podcast from William Hill. And we're getting towards the business end of the group stages on today's edition of the podcast, as we have the final games in Group A and Group B. Of course, the final round of fixtures in the group stage. Both matches played at the same time, and four games in all taking place on Monday. Today on the podcast, we'll hear from Mark Welton and myself. We gave our best bets for the matches coming up on Monday. A couple of games where there's plenty left to play for, and a couple of just more general entertaining betting heaps. And we'll also hear from Lee Phelps and his country files, take a look at some of the countries participating in this year's World Cup with a slightly more light-hearted point of view. So the first game on Monday, which we're going to look at here on the podcast today, is possibly one of the less important of the day, as Saudi Arabia take on Egypt. But there are still winning bets to be found. That's the important thing. And Mark and I took a look at this one.
John, Saudi Arabia have been the worst side at the World Cup, officially the lowest ranked side in the World Cup anyway, taking on Egypt, who haven't really ever got going in the tournament.
Yeah, I think that's what I'd say. They haven't got going. You know, it's not that they haven't got the quality, they haven't got the ability. I mean, let's be honest, especially about Mo Salah, Egypt aren't especially a good side by the standards of a lot of the countries that are at the World Cup. But, you know, Saudi Arabia is just one of those teams. There's one every tournament, isn't there? Where the way they play, you think, how on earth did you get through the qualifying to be here? Egypt are odds on, rightly so, to beat Saudi Arabia. I almost wonder if the 5-6 underrates their chances a little bit. I wouldn't be the sort of person who would be who would be tipping up odds on shots unless there was a really, really, you know, strong case for it. So I'm willing to leave it alone, but you know, it could feasibly be a little bit shorter, I think. There's a range of enhanced odds as well. Now, a lot of these enhanced odds involve Mo Salah, which there's a big question mark over Mo Salah, of course, with the injury issues he has been having through the tournament so far. And if he's arrived here in full fitness, you know, it could have been a different story. So, yeah, he's not a player I'd want to be massively relying on. I think, given how poor Saudi Arabia have been, and again, I'll stress that Egypt haven't been great, but Saudi Arabia are the sort of team where you watch them and you sort of think, oh, I could have done a better job than this, which, you know, for me, really does take some doing. Egypt's minus a goal on the handicap is 9-4.
Yeah, I don't mind that. That's not bad. Looking at Saudi Arabia as well, they don't carry much of a goal threat. I don't think they've scored a goal, have they, yet? So could you be looking at Egypt to, I mean, just in this World Cup, not ever, obviously.
It would surprise me.
How about Egypt to win 10-0, something like that? I know you've mentioned the handicap. Would you be looking at those kind of markets as well here?
Yeah, it's 19-10, which is a respectable bet, to be fair. I mean, in a way, you're covered for more bases by that, because if you don't think Saudi Arabia are going to score, and as you say, there's a very strong case to think they won't, you know, you're taking, what, just under 2-1 there for Egypt to win, basically, if you don't think Saudi Arabia are going to score. Of course, we do have to set this all with a pinch of salt. It is a dead rubber. Neither of these two teams can qualify from the group. It sort of takes away the point of having both games taking place at the same time for the final round of the group stage, when neither of the teams in this game can actually get out of the group. But hey, it'll be an interesting game, because we get to see if Saudi Arabia managed to score a goal. We get to see if Egypt's managed to find a little bit of retribution for the disappointing tournament they've had so far. I actually had Egypt to get out of the group. I backed that, but I've been, you know, thoroughly put in my place.
Shrewd.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But Egypt's to a minus goal on the handicap is 9-4. And I think if they don't win by two goals, then I've just noticed enhanced odds Egypt to win by two or more goals is 5-5. So forget the handicap, take that. I'd be disappointed if I'm Egypt and I'm not winning by two or more goals in this game.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, the neutrals out there, would quite like to see Mo Salah leave with his head held high and a smile on his face, which would be nice. Obviously, there's been talks about him potentially going home before that game. News is that he probably will stay. Nobody actually quite knows yet. But yeah, it would be nice. Everyone's really taken to Mo Salah this season. It'd be nice to see him finish his World Cup on a high. You've got a feel for the man, haven't you? Injured in the Champions League final when it was his chance to shine, really. Missed the first game of the World Cup through that injury. Second game, didn't get the result he wanted. This is a chance for him maybe to bounce back. And all in all, if you were to write a dream team, pick a team out of the hat at the World Cup to try and finish on a high, you would pick Saudi Arabia. So looking like an Egypt win there. Thank you very much, John. And you expect them to win a shade cozily.
I do indeed. But I just want to make the point about the Mo Salah, actually. Yes, but I think that's been Egypt's downfall over in this tournament and with the expectations. They have one world-quality player who hasn't been able to play to that level because of injury, not his fault, but during this World Cup, that's been the downfall.
If you're betting on the World Cup on mobile, don't forget to get your Bet Boost. They're available on every match of the tournament. Just touch Boost on your bet slip and the price will get bigger.
The thoughts of myself and Mark Walton there on Saudi Arabia's game against Egypt in Group A. And while that's going on, there'll be a match with a little bit more importance happening as well, and that sees Uruguay take on Russia. And if Russia win or there's a draw, then Russia will top the group because of Russia's favourable goal difference. If Uruguay win, they'll top the group. So important when we think about the potential fixture combinations in the round of 16. We'll get the thoughts of myself and Mark in a few moments. But first of all, let's hear from Lee Phelps. He's been doing some more of his country files, and this time we can hear all about Uruguay.
Welcome to Uruguay, where over half of the country's 3.3 million people live in the capital, Montevideo. In Uruguay, cows outnumber people 4-1. I'm not sure if that means there are 6 million cows in Montevideo too. Uruguay's national anthem, which lasts more than 5 minutes, is the world's longest in performance duration. Let's hope there's an abridged version before their matches. In 2009, Uruguay became the first country in the world to provide every school child with a free laptop and Wi-Fi access.
So there we go. Found out a little bit more about Uruguay there, off the pitch. Now let's find out what we could potentially expect on the pitch. Me and Mark took a look at their game against Russia, which in the context of the round of 16 and the potential fixtures could be very important indeed. Here's what we had to say.
I suppose we could start here by saying Russia, the surprise packages of this World Cup.
Yeah, that's exactly how I put it. They have been the surprise packages because before the, if you remember before the first game when they played Saudi Arabia, everyone was saying, oh, what a boring game to get the World Cup. I don't know why I'm mocking, because I was one of these people. But what a boring game to start the World Cup. They were the two lowest ranked sides on FIFA rankings, which don't mean that much, but anyway, in the entire tournament. And I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just Russia playing the atrociously poor Saudi Arabian side, gave them the confidence to come out and then get the result against Egypt, or maybe it was the fact that they were out sadder or whatever it was, but they seem to be on a bit of a roll. Russia are in a good position here because if Uruguay don't win this game, Russia top the group because of the favourable goal difference. So they're in a good position. My question is, Russia at 21-10, based on the way these two teams have played so far during the tournament, is that a little bit big? Is that a little bit big? You know, if you look at, I know we have these pre-formed ideas about Uruguay, though to be fair, coming into this tournament, a lot of the slightly wiser figures in the world of football tipping were pointing out that Uruguay are one of those teams who are slightly at risk of being overrated purely because of the football tradition in the country. It's a little bit like those teams in the Championship, without naming any names, that you know you expect to do well because they're big clubs. It's a bit like that in international football terms.
If that's a jibe in the way of my football club, John, we're going to fall out.
It's not only your football club, it's other football clubs as well. But anyway, so based on the football that has been played in this tournament, are Russia too big at 21-10? I think they might be, you know. I think they might be. I'd be happy to take that. Because what I think we're seeing in this World Cup, Mark Walton, is the age of the one-man team, right? And I think Uruguay are, in many respects, they might not be the best example, but they're an example. Based on everything, I'm just not sure they're very good. You know, I'm just not sure.
Are you saying they're a one-man team around Luis Suarez? Yeah. So you don't throw Edison Cavani into the mix and other players.
Useful. Yeah, but I'm not saying, you know, Portugal have players who are useful. Egypt have players who are useful. You know, it doesn't mean.
Okay, well, I'm not sure I entirely agree, but okay, I'll let you have the point. Suarez, for me, this tournament doesn't look the same man he was. If you're saying the team is built around him, I think he's lost a yard of pace. I think he's not looked quite as sharp. He's missed chances that you would expect Luis Suarez to score. Is that the problem for Uruguay?
Yeah, I think he's over the hill, Mark. That's how I'll put it. I'll put it diplomatically. I think he's over the hill. But, you know, we're talking about a Uruguay team who struggled past Saudi Arabia, really, you know, 1-0, when Saudi Arabia were terrible. And
on collateral form, Russia should beat them.
Well, I was going to say, the problem is that collateral form
never works out quite the same.
No, especially at international level. I don't know why, but it's especially at international level because the results seem to be a lot less regular anyway. But, yeah, so I'll take Russia at 21-10 to win. In terms of goal scorers, first of all, Uruguay, because I don't think they won't score necessarily. You know, I'm not saying that. Suarez is 13-10, and I wouldn't want to touch that. Funny enough, you mentioned Cavani; he's also 13-10. I'd much rather, despite the fact I've said they're a one-man team in favour of Suarez, I would much rather take the 13-10 for Cavani based on current form. With Russia, it's difficult, isn't it? Because their goal-scoring threat is spread out a bit more consistently throughout the pitch. You know, they're less, despite the fact. Well, I guess it's been shown in their previous games where they racked up the high goals, the high goal tallies, and they spread the threat across the pitch. I mean, your man who scored against Egypt, Dzyuba, 6-4. It's not a fancy price, but he's a good four.
Yeah, okay. So maybe a couple of different angles into the goal scorer markets there. I was reading the other day, I saw something along the lines of Russia at the World Cup have covered more yards than any other team there, which suggests to me that they are fired up, obviously, with the home crowd, and they're trying. The hard work is getting them through it rather than any kind of real star quality. If they go into the Uruguay game the same way, I can see the angle why they might win. And that's where you're leaning then, just to summarise. You're going to go for Russia here? You're going to go for them to beat Uruguay?
I'll go for Russia to win, 21-10. It's not a crazy big price, but I think it's a shade too big. And I just can't trust Uruguay based on their performances so far this World Cup.
Who'd have thought it then? If John is correct here, then Russia will finish the group with 9 points. I don't think anybody would really have fancied that. Although I did know some shrewd judges that said they might get out of the group, or they will top the group, in fact, in one instance.
I mean, they were second favs to get out of the group in a group where two teams qualify. So I'm not quite sure how shrewd that is, but
it was correct. And it wasn't me either, so it's not me bigging myself up. So yeah, that's John's thoughts on the Russia game. Uruguay take on Russia in the final game in that group, or one of the final games in that group, of course. And do check out all of the enhanced odds on the website, ways to find extra bits of value in there as well. And of course, if you fancy anything that's not on the website, you can tweet at William Hill with the hashtag Your Odds and get your own bets priced up. Very best of luck with the bets on Monday, and enjoy this game.
The World Cup with William Hill.
We're live for every second of the tournament with in-place stats, best bets and updates from our World Cup reporters. Listen and bet at williamhill.com or on the app.
The World Cup on InPlay Radio.
So those were the thoughts of myself and Mark Walson on the game between Uruguay and Russia in Group A. Now we move to Group B, and in the evening, 7 o'clock, we've got the two games, Iran against Portugal and Spain against Morocco, taking place. And it really is all to play for in Group B. Three of the four countries can still qualify for the round of 16, with Morocco being the exception, and there's no dead rubbers in this round of fixtures. Me and Mark took a look at, first of all, the game between Iran and Portugal to see if we could find out any value.
Coming into the tournament, I don't think many people would have given Iran much chance of getting out of this group with Spain and Portugal in there. But as we go into the final game, Iran can still get through, Portugal can still go through, as can Spain. It's wide open, really, in this group.
Yeah, sorry, Morocco, missing out on the fun. But they do have a hand to play in the qualifying process. Yeah, if Iran win this, they're through, which is weird. but yes, I don't think they are going to win this. But we were just talking about the qualifying permutations before we started recording, and it's a little bit complicated. There could be goal difference involved. There could be Spain against Morocco involved, or there probably will be Spain against Morocco involved. In terms of this match, Portugal have been a funny team for me, not just in this World Cup, but in the Euros 2 years ago and in the interim. As punters, we like to categorise teams into they do this or they do that. You know, they score a lot of goals, they concede a lot of goals. Do you know what I mean? I know they had that Euro 2016 campaign where, you know, they were like drawing their way to the final. But then they had that game like they did in their opener against Spain, where it was 3-3, it was an absolute goal fest. It probably could have been 5-5. You know? They're not an easy team to pigeonhole in terms of what happens in their matches. Not necessarily in terms of their style of play, which I think we're fairly well acquainted with, but in terms of what then happens in the matches as a result.
I think that's an interesting point, because I think Portugal are a hard side to back, because going back to the Euros, going back to what we've seen already, I don't think they've played particularly well, but they get the results. Ronaldo obviously scored the 3 goals. Spain were the better side by far in that game, but they came away with a 3-3 draw. If you look at the Euros, like you said, they almost drew their way to the final. If you look back historically as well, they've had the players and the names in the team, but they haven't really got the results that should justify. I think they're a hard side to back at a lot of times, Portugal, and I think they'll be caused a few problems by Iran here.
I think they could well be. I think I'm not breaking any new ground by saying Cristiano Ronaldo is key. You know, we were talking previously about, you know, one-man teams at this World Cup. You know, I think Portugal are fairly near the top of that list for me. And coming into this World Cup, there were a lot of doubts about, you know, his ability to perform on the world stage, if you want to use that cliche. But, you know, you can't really have any complaints about what he's done so far. The free kick against Spain, the goal against Morocco. So, yeah, he's done well. He's going to be crucial to any success that Spain may Portugal rather may have here. It could be crucial to any success that Spain have as well. We'll see about that. Him to score on Portugal to win is enhanced 13-10 out from 5-4. Yeah, that's okay. You know, I mean, considering Portugal are 4-6 in the outright betting, and if they win, Ronaldo will probably score. So that's okay.
He's the only man to have scored for them this tournament, so yes, I think if you're gonna have a way into the game, he's got to be the guy you're looking at, hasn't he?
There you go. That hadn't even fully occurred to me, Mark. You're coming out with lines all over the place. There was a market which I am looking for now, and it was team to win and under 2.5 goals. And Portugal were a very good price. So
the old match times goals market. Yeah, if you go to the team goals, I think it's under.
Team goals, here we go. Portugal and under 2.5 goals in the match is 21-10. Right, I like that because, as you say, I can see Iran causing a few problems. It could be one of those games where they like win 1-0 and you sort of go, which is very similar to what Spain against Iran was. And we could see a similar story here. It'd be one of those games where you see the scoreline at the end of the game and you're like, oh, they only won 1-0. But they grinded out the result. I can see Portugal doing that. And yeah, that 21-10 is tempting.
Yeah, I like the angle there. I get the angle. And that would be how Portugal have been playing for, I don't know, maybe 4 years in this current guise. So, yeah, I can see the angle there. Expecting Portugal to win then, but maybe not run away with this game and Iran to play a big part in it on Monday evening. Of course, you can send us your thoughts as well. Get in touch with us on In Play Radio, the email address there, inplayradio@williamhill.co.uk. If you'd like to tweet them, it's @WillHill in play. And whilst you're on Twitter as well, why not send a tweet to @WilliamHill with a hashtag your odds and get yourself something fancy priced up as well for the game. Plenty of ways in. Enjoy the game. Good luck with your bets. And if John's right, Portugal win.
William Hill customers are getting more every day of the World Cup. With flash odds, you can get outstanding price enhancements on some of the most popular markets. So don't miss out. More enhancements, more to celebrate. William Hill, this is more.
So Portugal perhaps to edge it there in the game against Iran and make it through to the round of 16. It has been an exciting time in Group B ever since that game between Portugal and Spain. That's 3-3. It's been one of the more intriguing groups of the World Cup so far.
We'll find out more about one of the countries involved in Group B now. Spain might be one of our closest neighbours here in the UK, but what are they like off the pitch? We'll find out now with Lee Phelps.
Welcome to Spain, where nudity is legal. The next time you're using a stapler, you can thank the Spanish. The first known stapler was made in the 18th century in the Basque Country, and every single staple was engraved with the royal emblem. Spain has also given the world the mop and bucket, the forerunner of the modern cigarette, and the astronaut's spacesuit. There's no tooth fairy in Spain. When Spanish children lose a tooth, they put it under their pillow, and a small mouse called Ratoncito Perez comes to collect it, and they leave a small gift or money in its place. And every Christmas in this nation, lots and lots and lots of money is paid out. Spain's national lottery, El Gordo, translated as the fat one, pays out some 2.2 4 billion euros. Nice Christmas for someone.
Thanks to Lee there for his thoughts on Spain in that little update. And we'll find out now what we might expect in their game against Morocco, because Morocco are the only team in Group B who can't progress to the knockout stages of the competition. But for Spain, everything to play for. They want to top the group. They want to get out the group. Of course, that's not even certain yet. It should be an exciting evening in both fixtures. And we can find out about the second of them now with myself. And first of all, Mark Wilson.
Well, as is the way the group games finish at the World Cup, we've got another match in Group B at 7 p.m. It is Spain against Morocco, and it's a good thing that these matches will be played at the same time, because repercussions in both games about who will go through, it's wide open in this particular group. Spain 1-3 to win the match. The traders expect them to do all they can to get through. The draw is 19-5. Morocco are 9-1. We've seen the good, the bad, and the pretty football from Spain that we'd expect. See what I did there? In this tournament, we've seen them sack the manager 2 days before their first game, play really nice football, but only get a draw against Portugal. They had to grind it out against Iran. Is that the kind of thing that you see in a team when you sometimes just think maybe they're just going to get through? It's one of those things where, you know, it's not the your name's on the trophy kind of idea, but they're coming through adversity and still playing a decent brand of football at times as well, Spain.
Yeah, I think they've surprised a few people in that when there's drama just before, you know, you sort of expect, everyone sort of expects people to be running around like headless chickens. But they've you know, kept relatively calm and collected, you would say. The football has been good. We were served up that absolute treat in their game against Portugal, which was every bit as we thought a good as we thought it might be. Maybe the game against Iran wasn't, you know, quite such a cracker, but you know, they're in a position where, you know, when they sat the manager, people were saying things like, oh, what price can I get on Spain not to get out of the group and things like this. If they win this, they will get out of the group. And they will, trying to do the maths in my head, be in with a good chance, they won't be confirmed because them and Portugal are currently tied on points, but they will have a good chance of winning the group. And as well, if Spain and Portugal both win, I'd have Spain down as the more likely team to win decisively. So they're in a good position to potentially win the group, which is of course helpful when you get what should be a more favourable draw in the round of 16 and onwards. And, you know, from there, who knows? So I think where Spain are at an advantage here is that, you know, they're a team with a lot of quality across the park. Yeah, we look at some teams who are tipped to go well in the World Cup, or we expect to go well, you know, the Uruguay's, Portugal's, Argentina's of this world, and we see how it's been going for Argentina so far. And
not well.
Yeah, you haven't got the squad to win a World Cup, to go far into a competition. I think it's the teams like Spain. I know Brazil have not exactly been foot perfect so far, but Brazil. And same concept to apply to France as well. You've got to have, you can't just have one excellent player. You've got to have a lot of very good players, and that's what Spain have got. And that's why I think it would be a massive surprise if they don't get past Morocco here. I think they can win the group by winning this game in good style. You're probably going to have to go for a little bit of a more boring bet on this one, I think. You know, it's all very well and good putting in dramatic plays in the outright betting, but when Spain are threes on and they're almost certainly going to win the game, you've got to go searching for something a little bit more creative. I think if you've got a combination bet on the go throughout these four games, remember, four games a day we've got coming up from Monday onwards. Over 2.5 goals in the game is 17-20. Now, I know that's odds on, but I do think that's a little bit of value.
It's less odds on than Spain to win the match.
It's less odds on than Spain to win the match, exactly. I mean, if Spain win 3-0, great, you're covered. But if it's 2-1, you're covered. But the great thing about bets like this is you just have to sit back and hope the goals come in. It's not like, if Morocco win 3-0, which I'm going to, stick my neck out on the line and say is a little bit unlikely, you still get your anger then.
Yes, you've got the absolute shock on your side.
Can you tell I've got a lot of these previews?
I actually think your point about over 2.5 goals would work well if you combine that with Spain in the match team to win and overs and unders on goals. I'm expecting it still to be pretty short, but hopefully it'll be somewhere past the even money mark. If you can just scroll to that for us.
If you go to goals. Goals.
And right. Scroll down and you should be able to see...
Match results and 3 or more goals for the match.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Spain or even money.
See, that's not bad.
That's okay.
Yeah. And we've got to talk about, if we're talking about goals, Diego Costa's having a very good World Cup. I mean, we obviously knew a lot about him from his time at Chelsea and he's obviously reproduced that Atletico Madrid going back there. He's done it on the world stage again now in the World Cup. He's a volatile character, isn't he? But he doesn't half find the net.
He does. He's 17-20 to score in this match any time. You can't really get too excited about that. There's an anytime goal scorer in here who I always think is a sneaky little play, right? Because he wouldn't be the first player you'd think of in either the Spanish national side or, I'll say, his club, so I don't give away who it is too soon, right? But he gets on the end of more set pieces than you'd think, okay? He doesn't have moments of brilliance, right? But he's there in the box on the ends of the free kicks and things like that. Sergio Ramos.
I knew you were going to say Sergio Ramos.
7-2.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We've seen him take penalties for them as well.
Exactly. And I wouldn't back that, if they were playing Portugal and you thought it might be a cagey 1-1. But it's not beyond the realms of possibility that Spain might come out and win 5-0 here.
Yeah. I never mind a centre-back coming up for a corner angle for a goal scorer as well. And like I say, he gets on the end of free kicks. He'll take some penalties if the mood seems to take him.
We've seen a lot of penalties so far in this World Cup as well.
We have, haven't we? Is that 11 penalties now as we record this? Something along those lines anyway. It's been a lot. I can see that as an angle as well. So overall, just to summarise, John, you're expecting Spain to win comfortably and possibly then top the group.
Yeah, I think so. You swayed me on the even money on Spain and over 2.5 goals in the match. I think that's the way. And it's sort of the opposite of the sort of things we were talking about in terms of the Portugal game. I think Spain could come out comprehensively win.
I do remember to check those enhanced odds on the game as well. We'll have some nice juicy enhancements for you heading into the Spain-Morocco match and indeed every match at the World Cup. Do send us your requests for bets as well at William Hill on Twitter. Hashtag your odds. Send us your thoughts. Let's try and come up with one now then, shall we? Sergio Ramos to score a header, Diego Costa to get booked and Spain to score 3 or more goals. How about that? See if they'd price that up for us.
I would take that. I'd back that. Well, depending on what the price was. I wouldn't back that up 3-1, but I'd be interested.
But it's those kind of things, so do send some of them if you've got any ideas for yourself as well, and do check out Scratch of the Day on the website as well. Have a bet on any World Cup game and get involved with Scratch of the Day. Chances to win yourself some nice prizes too. Nice prizes. We got some nice prizes with the enhanced odds. Nice prizes with Scratch of the Day. Maybe I'm thinking of some kind of marketing technique here, but either way, good luck with your bets and enjoy the games on Monday.
The World Cup with William Hill.
We're live for every second of the tournament with in-play stats, best bets and updates from our World Cup reporters. Listen and bet at williamhill.com or on the app.
The World Cup on in-play radio.
So there you have it then, the four games coming up on Monday in the World Cup. The excitement ratcheting up as we reach the business end of the group stages. It won't be long until we're in the knockout stages, of course. Good to know after Sunday's action that England are confirmed
a spot in the round of 16, and we'll find out over the coming days who is going to be joining them, as well as the finishing positions in each group as well, of course. A full range of markets available on the William Hill website for every single game in the World Cup. Your odds available on every game. Enhanced odds as well, available on every match in the 2018 World Cup on the William Hill website or on the app. Join us there, and join us tomorrow on the Daily World Cup podcast when we take you a look at four more games on the World Cup coming up on Tuesday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.